It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Any less in trouble. Yeah, we're always getting in trouble here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the BAEA beautiful studios of Freedoms Phoenix, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey. Now, we've been talking about just kind of our history in dealing with gun laws and gun freedoms and so on here in Arizona, but there's so much behind whatever you really see in the media or even what we can put up in, on Freedom's Phoenix or the radio show. I mean, there's such a tapestry with so many different people's perspectives and however many people working on this over a period of decades. It's an evolution of culture. That's why you think all of a sudden they just went, you know what? In Arizona, we're going to have unrestricted concealed carry because all the judges and the legislators and the governors and everybody slapped themselves on the forehead and said, we could have had a V8. Thanks for telling us. No, it is from something else. That comes from something else. There is something else that drives that. It's because government, they're all followers. They're not leaders. They don't lead the people towards freedom or salvation or whatever. No, they're always trying to enslave you. They're going to get a little bit more for them and their buddies. A little less for you. They're afraid of you. They pass Patriot Acts and stuff to protect, do you think the Patriot Act was to protect you from terrorists? It was to protect government from you. Don't think so? Well, I got time. You'll find out. So we're talking about how, gun laws evolved and politics and so on here in Arizona. And we got up to the point to where you have legislators that pass concealed carry laws that they go out and they go to their training and they're like, not only am I a legislator, I'm an armed legislator and I'm going in some place and then they have a sign that says you can't have a firearm there. Well, then I just passed a law that says they have to let me. Didn't I? Well, then the dang libertarians are in there saying, no, they have a right to say no. Are you anti-gun? Of course not. We're pro-freedom. That means they get to exercise dominion over their property. I don't like it. I'll go shop over here where they let me. We even had a thing that we printed up. This is one of the things that we did on our printing press. Why we had that. It was a card that you have. Imagine a business card that on the bottom it's perforated and it had a business card and a half. So it's about the size of 2.5 business cards. So you have a business card, and it was called Safe Map. Excuse me. MAP, M-A-P, stood for Merchant Awareness Program. So we had this is just when web pages are first starting. I mean, this is like 96, 7. We were all over this web thing, man. We definitely had this internet thing going on. So we were going, okay, you have a Safe Map. Where places on any different criteria, whatever the kind of store it was, there's a auto parts store or it's a mall or it's a restaurant and that kind of thing. Denny's now say no guns, so you gunnies don't go there, okay? JB restaurants or Coco's, they say, yeah, we don't care, it's legal in Arizona, we go there. So we had this whenever we go to, it was like Fry's Electronics when they first started to become popular. I remember they didn't used to have any sign that said anything. And then they started putting up signs at Sam's Clubs and Walmarts and Fry's and these big places because a lot of people just go around carrying armed all the time. And it was a kind of, you know, just an awareness thing in Arizona, part of the culture deal. A lot of guys, you know, felt, you know, that they needed to go out and everybody just, you know, get used to it. And pretty much it did. Because I remember in the early 70s when we first moved from Florida, my family here, where my whole side of my mother's family lived here, when we came to Arizona, you had guys dressed up as cowboys carrying sidearms all the time. Especially if you're riding a motor, everybody had a motorcycle, had a gun. You know, they felt safer. You know, people, cars go run them off the road or something. At least they can throw their gun at them or something. I have no idea why, but you know, so it was not uncommon to see in the 70s. Well, then of course, then this anti-gun hysteria thing started in the late 80s and 90s and so on. And then now it's starting to change again and coming back. They're going, look, man, I got way more important things to worry about, whether somebody's got a gun. Matter of fact, I'm wondering half the time, I hope somebody around here, one of the good guys, has guns, because I know the bad guys do. So they start, you know, it's a whole change in attitude. So then you got these guys going around, they're saying, I passed legislation that says, you know, I can have a gun here, but you're not letting me. The answer to legislators, that they only know how to use government force. They're going to pass a law. If all you know is a hammer, everything's a nail. So what did we do? Second Amendment is for Everyone created a program called the SAFE, Second Amendment is for Everyone, the SAFE MAP, the SAFE Merchant Awareness Program. And they had the card, and it had a perforation at the bottom. And we'd go to the manager, and whenever you just do this, I didn't do it as much. We printed them up and everything. It was another guy's idea. I remember it was Frank Golubsky. You know, he moved up to, not Seattle, I was at Spokane. I forgot all about this. Yeah, good job, Frank. Hello, how are you doing? You listen to the show sometimes. Anyway, so he comes up with this idea. I'm pretty sure it was Frank. And he goes, we're going to go ahead and create this merchant awareness program to where when you have somebody that does this, you go, oh, so you don't want gunnies to shop here. Okay, we just want to make sure that's perfectly within your right. No, not a problem. And he would tear off the top business card part and hand it to him, and it'd have his name on it and so on. Everybody had their own personalized one. And on the back, it explained what it is. Second Amendment is for Everyone, Merchant Awareness Program. Our membership is being informed that they are not welcome here should they have their firearm, blah, 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 blah. This is to inform you that you've been on a list. If you want to be taken off this list, just let us know, and we'll, you know, whatever, it's all good. You know, peace be upon thee, and you walk out. On the bottom, the perforation, you know, you put, you know, the guy's name and where it was and the location and whatever, and then they mailed that. You know, we thought of making postcards out of it, it was just too much pain in the butt. But anyway, so they take those, they put it in an envelope, or they bring them down to us, or they go on the website and they enter it, send us an email, whatever information we needed that was on that card, and then we entered it into it, and we had a map. You know, this is where yes, you can, this is where no, you can't. And then, of course, you know, most of them you didn't know. But, you know, anybody would go there. So what was it? It was a merchant awareness program, SAFE MAP. That's how you take care of it. You just use the power of boycott. You go, look, hey, man, I got money. I won't spend it here. It's all good. All of a sudden, it starts to change. You know, they're starting, you know, that concealed carry permit thing allows them to carry open, concealed. You know what? They decided that, you know, the culture has matured enough now that they just are going to change the law to where you don't have to have a permit and you can just carry concealed. Just carry. Okay, so now I'm feeling, you know, more comfortable. I don't want to, you know, go up against a man. I got him, you know, where I'm available. And if I really felt I need carry concealed, I'll take the risk, you know, whatever. But so we get back to why I stopped at Cabela's today. Oh, you thought I forgot. Okay, we're working around there. So I go to Cabela's, and I'm like, you know, show me some firearms, you know. And I didn't get anything today. I just wanted to see, you know, something that I'd like. And I like having it, you know, I prefer double action over not. I like to, you know, I keep it cocked and everything. You know what I tell you my safety is? My finger. You know, I pull trigger, go bang. I don't sit here and worry about and rack and all that kind of crap. You know, I just, you know, pull trigger, bang, I win. All right? Well, can you get a small gun? I mean, you know, you go, oh, yeah, it's not a small gun. You don't get that. You got to get this one. You need to get the, you know, the Colt or the Glock Officer 45 compact guy, you know, big giant bullet, you know, small gun kind of, but still heavy, you know, still kind of big. Well, you can do this, you can do that. Well, heck, I got James Bond, got a Walther PPK, you know, it's a 380 probably. And I'm going, you know, hey, man, I can do a James Bond gun, get kind of small, but still kind of heavy. It's a little bit big. So can I? Do I want to go down to 22? I mean, at 22, the forehead probably, you know, at least, you know, deter somebody. But, I mean, you know, that's not really going to protect you. You know, 32, 38. Yes, I'm going through all these firearms. I'm like, I want something light. You know, can I get at least 5 shots? I'd really rather not have a revolver. It's still a little big. My wife carries a revolver in her purse. She's a real estate agent. You know, you're going to a house, you know, people you never saw before. You're going to a vacant house to show somebody a house that is vacant. Beautiful woman out in the Tumbuk, whatever the heck, out in the middle of nothing. You walk into a vacant house, and you don't have a firearm with you, pretty girl and strange people. You're just a moron. And that was one of the reasons why this law changed over the years. There were female realtors during the boom when it was getting all big and hot and heavy. You know, they're going out all these places. Yeah, they're just how many they can go. Yeah, we're just selling houses like crazy and getting raped and killed. So all of a sudden, the attitude said, you know what? Maybe it would be a good idea for women to start packing guns, especially if your realtor is out there. I mean, oh, and what are you? You're dressed up your best. You're in your business. You're looking all kind of babish. Man, you're ready to make a porno. And there they are. What are you going to do? Well, you know, you don't make a movie if you got a gun. You know, it's like Panic Room. Hey, they're break, boom, movie over. You can't have a movie if you got guns. Oh, we got more to talk about guns when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Phoenix. We're out of Phoenix here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. But you always got to have some Boston, man. Boston's always some good. You know, my friend Mark Victor's from Boston. And, man, he, you know, every time he's on, we got to play Boston. So we've got to have some Boston ready for him. You know, I wanted to go ahead and finish it. We can talk about this. What we're going to go ahead and do is for today's archive, when you go up there, we'll have it up in a little bit, that you can go look at some of the lawsuits that we did. And this one that we did all the way to Supreme Court, and I'll talk about that, Arizona Supreme Court, and it was, there was a reason behind it. We always got a reason. We don't go, and you know, I don't care what judges say. We just want to get it all on record. Of course, we're going to dismiss it because we can. And yeah, whatever. You know, it's on record. So we got all that research, and we'll tell you all about it. Where we're at now is we went up, and it's called a six-hour P-238. And I'm going, feeling good, looking good. It's nice and compact. It's a, you know, it's a 380, you know, a 38 little round. It's like, you know, it's about the 9mm, a little less powerful than a 9mm and so on. But this is the concept. I already got, you know, 45 handguns. I got revolvers, you know, 357 magnums. And, you know, it was a K-frame, J-frame, and I don't know, the other frames, whatever they are. I got all the stuff all over the place. And it's usually a lot of times, you know, you inherit it from family members or you get somebody needs some money. And, yeah, sure, you know, a couple hundred dollars here. I know it'll be worth that. I, you know, this one would be nice. And so it's just like an investment. You know, it's like I don't, you know, sit there and waller them or anything. You know, I just now all the kids moved out. And so on, I start putting them out, and then I got grandkids, and I start putting them back. They get older. But the thing is that, you know, I like having, you know, why not? I mean, okay, so it's a paperweight on top of the paper. But the, you know, so you have these firearms, and each one has kind of a different function. You know, I go camping, I might take this one. I'm going to rally or function here or something. I have the cool holster on this one. I might do that. But you know what? Really, none of them are used that much, you know, except when you go targeting or you're cleaning them or you're doing whatever. You really need one for walking around. You know, that was Jefferson's thing, man. Take your pistol out for a walk. You know, freedom-oriented. I mean, he writes about this stuff. You need to, you know, go out and be armed and liberty teeth and get that, you know, in our culture and so on. They talk about this all the time. So I'm going, okay, if I'm going to be carrying a firearm, and now it's I don't have to worry about the man and all this, and I can just, you know, go do it, which I should be doing anyway, but I'm... You know, I'm just not going to be carrying my 9mm Beretta that holds, you know, 16 rounds. It's just heavy. It's big. It's cumbersome. You know, I'm going at the Pork Fest, the Porcupine Festival in New Hampshire a couple of weeks ago. Everybody's going around with their sidearm. Well, you know, there's a couple of days, you know, I went and I had it on there. But I'm just like, man, this is heavy. You know, I'm not. You know what? There's enough people here with firearms. I'm good. We have the Freedom Summit. Whenever we do the Freedom Summit, we always make part of the contract that we do with the hotel and resort. There's going to be people carrying firearms. You're scared. You just might as well get used to it. You know, I mean, or we're not going here. But we had the Point Tapatio, the Point South Mountain. They had, you know, it's a Hilton consortium now. The Hilton hotel group bought these local Arizona places out, and they're like, oh, well, we got to get permission and permission slip from and a memo of and the corporate kind of whatever, and then never, you know, fine, we're not going here. We go somewhere else. When we went to Manchester with the Freedom Summit to celebrate, you know, the selection of New Hampshire for the Free State Project in 2004, I think, we went there. Dr. Paul was one of the speakers. That was the second time he spoke at a Freedom Summit. There were firearms everywhere. The police came because one of our speakers, Vin Soprenowitz, wrote a book called The Ballad of Carl Draga that was about a guy that just had enough in New Hampshire. All the people were, you know, just taking his land and eminent domain this and permit that and you can't and bug him. Finally, he just, they were hassling him so much. He just took the, they stopped him, giving him a ticket, hundreds of dollars he couldn't afford for rust through on his truck bed of his old truck. That was against the law, I guess. So he goes, that's it. Got the gun off his gun rack, shot the two deputies, took their car, went downtown, killed one of the city councilors, somebody that was giving him a hassle. The local newspaper guy is like, Carl, I'm not going to let you go. He goes, let me go. Boom, killed him. Goes out, big shootout with the state police. And that, all you hear is about how crazy the guy was and everything. You go and research and you find out he'd been writing letters to the editor in the Boston Globe and all over the country begging for help for them not to keep bugging him. And it all started when there was a flood and it washed out some of his little beach or his dock where he lived on the river, and some river guy in a canoe that worked for the government saw him rebuilding it without a permit. They went after him. Then they got him for retarring his house. Then they, you know, the roof, a flat part of his house. Then they got him and just kept, you know, cascading into this guy. He just didn't respect their authority enough. So he wrote a book. Out of 700 pages, 16 pages devoted to the Ballad of Carl Draga. 16 pages out of 700-something stories just like this all over the country. So here comes the Manchester Police Department. They wanted to have the hotel shut us down for doing the summit there because they were going to allow us to have firearms. Fortunately, the hotel told them to get bent, you know. And so here they come. They're coming. They're going to be there because the governor wanted to ban the book. Which, of course, increased sales, you know. So I just, so we go on the talk radio show. That's where we met Guard Goldsmith. He was in between Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity or something, because he's a hardcore anarchist libertarian type. So we had all kinds of fun with that. So this is, you just, they don't understand. They think they're in, yeah, but we're right because we got the mic, you know, like, yeah, whatever. You know, we just go head to head with these guys. Well, during all this, you know, you can see why when Congressman Ron Paul would come to the Freedom Summit, you know, most of the people there, he doesn't even know whether armed or not. A lot of them are. It's so much so that I don't have to be. You know, I'll do it just, okay, you know, yeah, see, got there, you know, and then I won't wear it anymore because I'm just, it's heavy. The security for the Crescent here, the Sheridan Crescent, they came up. And they said, well, we want to meet with and do that. And the two guys that were assigned to Dr. Paul just to make sure that the crowd wasn't pressing in on them and take the first bullet or whatever, you know, they wanted to meet them and say, and I go, well, you know, these guys will take care of everything. And you guys got your guns right armed. They go, oh, we didn't bring our guns, Zerny. And I'm going, oh, you guys are embarrassing. But, you know, we didn't care. That wasn't the point. We just didn't want them to be prevented from. Well, some other guys did, so there was plenty of guns there. But the point was is that who was the head of security that come up to tell us how they're going to, you know, make Congressman Ron Paul, no less, right after the presidential run in 2008, you know, the December 2009, you know, a year later, that he's there and anybody might do him harm. They know where he's at. It wasn't like a big secret he was coming, and who's going to protect him? The unarmed, you know, 30-year-old, 115-pound female head of security? Seriously? That's it? That's what you got? That's what, you know, I don't need to bring a firearm because of that? You know, I mean, you know, you understand, you kind of, you point it out, you'd be nice. I'm going, look, this is it? This is our protection for congressmen? You know, I'm like, I think we got it taken care of. This is just a totally different mindset, the culture. I mean, what is she going to do, call the police after? I mean, come on. You know, what does law enforcement do? They draw the chalk line and notify the next of kin, fill out the paperwork? You know, the next of kin, I want them notifying as the bad guys. Just a way of thinking. And this is the rhetoric that we use. So what is it that would get me to carry a firearm on my person all the time, like I would, you know, have my cell phone? Heck, I don't even like carrying my wallet. You know, it's just too bulky and stuff. So I got a nice money clip with a silver ounce of Freedom's Phoenix silver ounce. Terralupo made me. He's a jewelry guy in the movement that was a doctor. You know, he just said, I'm done with this. His young guy, he says, I don't want to play life. I'm done. So he just left being a doctor, and now he's an activist from being a doctor. Just because that's the way we are. So he takes and he makes a money clip, a nice Tiffany money clip with this big soldered on, I guess, or whatever, this big 1 ounce silver Freedom's Phoenix medallion that is uses a money clip. And I just put like a license and one credit card or something in there and some business cards. And then I go. So I don't like being all weighted down. I got my Bluetooth ear thing and my cell phone. So, you know, I need like a big chunk of metal. You know, I'm going to do that now. I'd like to have a firearm on me, so how do I do this? What decisions do I make? How big a caliber? What am I looking for? See, we'll talk about that when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Every day, Monday through Friday, on Liberty News Radio here in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, it's more than a feeling. It's a heavy feeling. You know, when you got a big, giant chunk of metal and lead bullets in your pocket or on your hip. You know, it used to be you'd have these, you know, in the, in what they call the Wild West. I don't think it was that wild. You have the, you know, they'd have these little derringers, you know, two-shotters or one-shotters. It'd be a belt buckle or something like that. Or you have, you know, whatever. It used to be fashionable that you'd have all kinds of different kinds of protection. You'd have walking canes that were swords, and you'd have walking canes that were, I don't know, 20-gauge shotguns or something. I mean, you know, whatever. You know, so I'm just, you know, and my friend Barry Hess, running for governor, he always puts it well. He goes like this. He says, either through deterrence or demise, the access to firearms would kind of, you know, solve all the violent problems anyway. You know, deterrence or demise. You got bad guys, you know, being bad guys. You know, if everybody's armed, I guess, you know, through deterrence or demise of the bad guys, problem solved. How much violent crime would be eliminated if the good guys, if the sheep had shotguns? I mean, you see my point? You know, it's just the police are there to save you. They're going to protect you. They're going to do it. Pinky swear. They'll come and draw the chalk line. That's what they'll do. If that. So I'm just, you know, I'm good. We'll take care of it. So you go and you're in this mindset, and there's a lot of people there. Cabela's is a big, you know, sporting goods thing. You know, it's kind of like Bass Pro Shops or whatever. There's a big, giant, you know, how many bows and arrows and sleeping bags and, you know, parkas and pontoon boats and guns can you have? You know, I mean, you know, they got all kinds of goodies. You know, you can't walk in there without walking out spending money. So I go, yeah, I wasn't going to spend any money. Okay, $12.99 for a nice padded gunsling. All right. Or I need to, you know, I get, you know, this little, I got 10/22 rifle that has, you know, these 25 round little banana clips, you know, it's just a 22, you know, rifle that you use for training. It's really sighted in and it's cool. You know, I like shooting that. It's cheap. It's fun. But loading those little 22s in that, what a pain in the butt. Well, I saw this guy, he had this thing. You just dumped a bunch of the bullets in there, these little 22s, and they kind of organized in there in a line hanging, you know, and you had this little dial and you just turned it and you put in one of those magazines and it would just load it by turning this dial. And you load a 25 round thing in about 5 seconds. I go, oh, heck yeah. I'm definitely going to spend some money on that. And I was by, that's why I went in there, and it's, I don't know, $25 or something. And I'm like, done. Done, and done. I get one of those, I can have a lot more fun. I spend more of my time freaking reloading and shooting on, you know, 22s that cost almost nothing, you know? So I get that, and, you know, so that's why I was there, really. But, you know, while I'm there, I'm looking at, you know, okay, if I'm going to start carrying a firearm on me all the time, I don't need to be advertising it or let everybody know I got a gun all the time. Not so worried about whether they see I got a gun or not. They just might, I sit down, so they'll take it. Or no, I got one. Maybe I'd rather they just not know. So I'm going, okay, so I'm, you know, I wear a suit, I can put it in a pocket, it's not too heavy, it's not too small, but it feels like a gun of mine. Of course, you can buy a lot of little guns and everything, and it's a little peep, I mean, I want like a real gun, you know, I want something that's going to work, I want something that's quality, I want to have the functions that I want, and I wanted double action. Well, you know, different one, the way I wanted it, they didn't have a double action, but they have one that you could keep cocked with one, because I don't want to have to rack it, you know. If I need, I want to pull it out, pull trigger, go bang. All right, I don't want to be playing games. You know, here, let me rack that. You know, no. If I'm drawing on somebody, it's because I'm intending on using it. Or man, it's like really close the next time. I'd just soon not. You know, but if I'm pulling, you know, I'd be ready to pull trigger. You know, and I want to be ready to. So I'll be all kinds of backing up and running, and not playing, and let's just leave kind of guy. I don't want to be in confrontation. You know, I'm all good. But if it's going to get to that point, well, I don't want to be messing around with it neither. So in this one, it has, you can keep the hammer back and so on, and it has a safety on it. Well, okay, so it might work. I just, you know, used to doing it a different way. So I'm looking at this, you know, and I'm explaining to the guys all this stuff. He goes, you know, I got one for you to look at. Let's go look at this. And he goes into like they had like their little glass trophy room kind of thing, not the front counter there. And it's like another room, like when you're going to get speakers for your car or something, they got the little stereo room. You know, they got a guy in there. It's selling you the, you know, a little more expensive stuff. So it's a little handgun. I think it was like, I don't know, it wasn't cheap. It was like $550 or something, you know. And I'm going, no. Well, so it won't be prudent at this juncture. But there's always eBay or Craigslist or some good gun owner site, wherever you can get guns now. Heck, you can't get, you know, the only places you can really buy guns on the internet now, they have them listed, is in all the newspapers that are screaming about how bad the guns are. You know, they won't let you do them on Craigslist. They won't let you do them on, I don't know, if eBay you can do them anymore. You have some, like, Arizona gun list, and you got to be all, you know, they know who you are and everything to be on it. But, you know, you go to the New Times, is a super liberal paper, the Arizona Republic and everything. Sure as heck, they got guns and classified there. You know, they're complaining about anywhere else, but they'll take the classified money for people to, you know, advertise them there. You such hypocrites. Ugh. Another aside. So I get this. It's called a P-238 Sig Sauer. And I mean, I'm going, ooh, that's nice. And it feels good. It's like, I don't know, 5-6 round magazine, and it's a 380, you know, which is a little bit less than a 9mm. And it felt really, I go, this is, you know, it's not real heavy. It's not, it seems quality. I like it. It's not cheap, but, you know, this is cool. You know, this is okay. It's going to have to be this or better than this or around in this area. This is what I'm looking at. If I wanted to have a firearm that I'm going to walk around with, because it doesn't matter. This is one thing that I've learned, and a lot of gunnies will tell you this. You know, these guys are always telling me their thing, you know. It doesn't matter how great and wonderful and big and powerful your 50 caliber handgun, Desert Eagle, blah, blah, blah is. If you don't have it with you, it don't matter. You don't have any. Because if it's too clunky and big that you're not bringing it with you, guess what? You don't have a firearm. And you sit there and tell all kinds of great and wonderful what you got back in your safe or whatever, but you don't have it on you, you have none. So if you got a firearm that's too big to carry, you don't have one. I mean, it might be nice to have it. You got it in your, you know, nightstand by your bed, or it's, you know, at home behind a whatever or something. Okay, you know, that's, you know, I have firearms for that purpose. Would I rather have, you know, this one over that? I mean, sometimes I just rather, you know, just give me my 357 Magnum, I'm good. Oh, it's only got 6 shots, or, you know, my wife's 38 Special only got 5, you know, because small J-frame, it's a smaller firearm. You know, my daughter-in-law has a smaller version of something. She's got 5 rounds in it, 38 Special. Or 357, my son has a small revolver. You know, everybody got a little revolver. You pull trigger, go bang. Okay, well, the thing is that's good for first-time users, and they got, it's a good protection, close range, blah, 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 but it's not something you're carrying around with you. It's too bulky. It's too heavy, unless you got a purse or something. That's different. So I'm just like, okay, if you're going to have a firearm that you want to carry around, you want to carry around, you want to be armed, because, you know, we talk about this, because here in Arizona, Vermont, and Alaska, You know, the man doesn't need permission given to you. You don't need to get, you know, a little piece of paper. You don't need to go ask the king. You know, of course, they're saying, well, we gave you all of our subjects permission to not ask permission. Oh, thank you. So you have a small firearm that does the job. And some people, you know, 22 can do the job, too. You do it in the right place. I mean, you know, I just want to get away from it. I'm not about, you know, laying waste to somebody. I just, whatever it takes to, I just want to keep breathing in and out. You know, I feared for my life. I mean, that's my whole spiel. But, you know, I just know I'm not going to be carrying around this heavy stuff. So you go around. As I'm in there shopping, there were probably, and this is the middle of the day, it's like 12:30 in the afternoon, you know, this is on a Friday. I mean, there's hardly anybody in the store. They're all at the gun counter for the exact same reason. They're all asking the same kinds of, they're sitting there listening to me. Hey, well, he said, yeah, you know, show us the, you know, and so we're pulling it out for this. And the point was, oh, I want this. And I go, you know, I got these, you know, I got a really nice this and I got a nice that and it works that. But I don't carry them. They're too big. They're too bulky. It's like I'm showing off or something, you know. So, and if I'm going to be where I need them, I carry them. I take them. I don't care. But when I'm going to Freedom Fest in Las Vegas, you know, I think they got kind of, you know, more gunny laws and stuff in Vegas. But the point is, you go there and you're wearing a suit and everything. You know, where do you put your big 9mm? Where do you put your 45? Where do you put your 50? You know, where do you put all this stuff? You strap it on your leg, put it on your ankle, you get a little 38. You see my point? This country is going to start going armed because of the way things are going. It's going to be individuals who are going to start to realize that they have to take care of themselves. They're going to have to keep breathing in and out, and it's not going to be up to anyone else. So there is going to be, sooner or later, there's going to be favorite firearms that people are going to... I had a pizza restaurant, and one of my drivers, he carried a two-shot. It was, it had to be at least a, I don't know, 44 or something. It was a big, you know, it was a little, very heavy, bulbous kind of Derringer, you know, like you see in the old Western movies, that he kept in his fanny pack, where he has changes, so he had a little pouch in there, and he just pulled that sucker out. He only had two shots. That's all he needed. You know, so I'm all about you guys keep breathing in and out. And there's a history behind all of us advocating the ability to keep breathing in and out.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hello, I'm back. Oh, sorry about that. I had the wrong timing. Oh, thanks for taking care of me there on the board. You know, the one I want to go ahead and finish this story so that we can get in and make a full round on this thing in these 2 hours. The one thing that we have that we're building up to, now we're going to be taking care of ourselves, especially if this thing gets bad and the government's not going to be able to. So that's just by default. That's just the way it is. Well, what if you're going to be taking care of yourself, then who's going to be preventing you from doing it? Well, the law here in Arizona said you can. So who's going to say you can't? I don't know, in-laws, whoever. But, you know, you're on private property. I'll give you an example. You go to the mall. You have some malls say, yeah, you know, bring your firearm. You have some malls that say you can't. Well, guess which one you're going to? Well, I don't know, which are more convenient probably, but, you know, sometimes you'll say just out of, you know, what fur, you may go shopping at one, but I know it's over there, it may cost $3 more, but I'll go over there and buy it over there because, you know, this happened, merchant awareness program. You have power. It's called the power of the wallet. Wallet voting. You know, I think I still may have that. You know, when I first started doing my show back in 03, I went ahead and saved this. Let me see if I still got it. Nope, I think I let it go. It was walletvoting.com. And I was planning on going, yeah, we're going to do wallet voting. You know, wallet voting. I just kind of lost this, you know, this love affair with the term voting. I just like, you know, whatever. You know, but wallet voting, that whole concept. I think I just let it expire, but You have this idea that you can vote with your wallet, but imagine this. You go to the store. You go into the store, you buy some stuff, you come out. It's dark. It's 9 o'clock. It's a 24-hour Walmart. It's 2 in the morning. It's 11 o'clock at night. You know, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, whatever, you know, 2 in the afternoon, whatever time. But you come out, you're going to your car. Ooh, it's the holidays. And that's one of the big things. The sheriff's department, they're real popular going around. You know, they have the sheriff of Ohio got his posse out at the malls because people are breaking in the cars all the time. You go shopping, you see a bunch of presents in the back seat. Bam, you just did your Christmas shopping. Pop the trunk, man. You scored. You know, that happens all the time. I had this old Suburban that we've been fixing up just a little bit, just to, you know, so we have an extra four-wheel drive vehicle for whenever, pulling, you know, trailers or whatever, or boat or something. And we got this old 92 Suburban. It's in Paradise Valley Mall. My wife went up there, used it to go do something. In the back was one of those pop-up canopies. You know, they cost, you can get them now for like $80 or something like that. They broke in, nothing's in there. You know, the radio is nothing. They broke in to take it and took that. I'm going, seriously? This was just a couple months ago. Of course, now it's like getting hot. I'm going, man, I wish I had that thing. I'll have to get another one. But, you know, so they're breaking in all the time. You go shopping. You come out. And a guy puts a gun to the pretty little girl's head and says, you're mine, and he's right. Unless she knows, I don't know, whatever, some martial art and kick his butt. But, you know, you do that. Well, what happens, you disarmed because the location said, you shop here, you cannot have a firearm. Some employers say you can't even have it in your car on their property. Now, they're probably not checking, but that's policy. I mean, that's policy all over, especially the state of Arizona. If you're working, we had a big case dealing with somebody that worked for the Arizona Department of Revenue. Her name was Shannon, and she was molested by her father from the time she was like a little kid till 16. She finally turns him in. He does time, and the whole time, imagine this. It's a terrible scene. You know, you're being molested by your father. He's whispering in your ear, you know, you tell anybody, I'll kill you. So he goes in. Finally, she gets it together. You know, she's a strong woman. She gets married. She gets a concealed carry permit. She gets a 9mm. She takes it to work every day. She works at the main office of the Arizona State Department of Revenue, you know, the income tax people at the Arizona State. 9/11 happens. 9/11 puts up, they put up these metal detectors. Ooh, we got to protect, you know, the terrorists are going to come in the Arizona Department of Revenue or something. All right. So they start, you know, make a big deal. Nobody can carry a firearm, can't have them. What they find out is this girl, her father's getting out in a few months. She's terrified. Her and her husband go get gun training. She gets the firearm. They won't let her do it, and you can't bring it on the parking lot. So you know what the compromise was? They said, oh, well, we'll walk you to and from your car every day, and you get to park here in a handicap, or we'll do anything, but you don't get to carry a gun. Okay, so we made a big deal out of it and filed suit and all that's a whole nother story. I'll put that up on today's show, the archive. You go there and you're very interested in this stuff and our lawsuit that went to the Arizona Supreme Court and all the arguments that we made and everything. I found it. I was looking around for it and I found it in here, and I'll put that up there today. So when I get time, I'll set it up and I'll put it up. So you, when we put up the archive and everything, so you go there and you read that. And the reason we did it was so we could get all this argument, all of this case law, all of this research, all of these precedents, everything that we could into this case and put it together, get a government number, and have it available for attorneys in the future to be able to file civil lawsuits against merchants that leave their customers victim to this kind of prey. That's why we did it. Because when you come out of the Walmart at 10 o'clock at night and it's a holiday season and somebody accosts you, molests you, rape you, steal from you, kill you, do you have any kind of recourse that you were left defenseless while they didn't defend you? Did they have security? Did they have cameras? Did they have what? I mean, it's their problem. They can do whatever they want. Did they put you in an unsafe environment? Well, that's liability. You know, that's what it is. Were you in an unsafe? What kind of neighborhood? What was the crime ratings? Was it all this stuff? Now it depends. You know, how does the court, you know, rule? How does a jury do? Whatever. I don't know. The point that we were making is all this is not to use government force to make retailers allow firearms to be on their property. No, use the free market. I don't shop here. I go over here. If they put me or someone I loved in an unsafe environment, they said, no, you cannot have a firearm here, Oh, and it's like not putting salt out on the ice sidewalk. Oh, we got, you know, very slippery sidewalks. You know, FYI, you're on your own, and you fall. Yeah, you know, you can make that case. You know, but if you create, maybe you put, you put spikes in the sidewalk. it's an unsafe environment. You know, the night before somebody got, robbed. The night before that somebody got killed. The night before that somebody got, molested. Somebody got stolen from. Somebody got broken into. At what point does the retailer show some responsibility for taking care of people that even go there to make use of their business? I mean, just showing up is death. I mean, can I have a sign up front that says, don't shop here, you might get killed? Now, can I at least take care of myself? We wanted to supply all of the information, stats, precedent, law, so that we could have there when somebody would go and have this situation that they could go and make use of this in their civil litigation against unsafe merchants. That was it. Nobody understands why we do this stuff. It was just an activist thing to get this information in one place. You think that had a little bit of influence on them going, we're not going to have a permit system anymore. Everybody, you do it. You're on your own, man. It's not our problem, man. We didn't say you can't. You can. You do what? Hey, we don't know. You want to be, it's not our problem. This is how you change culture. It takes time. It takes education. It takes, persistence and perseverance. This is what we do. Is it a gun thing? No, it's a freedom thing. It's taking care of yourself thing. It's the attempt to keep breathing in and out when somebody would rather you not, or don't care if you did, or would pretty much put you at risk of not being able to if it helped them politically some way, or served their interest instead of the interest of the individual. There is a reason that we do think it's always consistent with freedom's the answer, what's the question? So when you have the Second Amendment advocates come and they do some kind of, we're going to, guns, we're going to, use tax. I'll tell you another one. During the time that they're giving us L ratings, for city council races in the mid-90s and so on, they were really upset with us because we would not endorse a certain bill that they wanted. They're trying to differentiate. We want this guy because he's our Republican guy, even though it's a nonpartisan race, versus this Democrat, evil liberal guy because of, whatever fill-in-the-blank reason, okay? So what they did is they came up with legislation, an idea that they would use city Parks and Recreation money to fund the construction or subsidize one of the shooting ranges. Now, here they have, it was Arizona State Game and Fish had it, and it used to be under the county, so it's called Ben Avery Shooting Range, which was a guy that just got, leased state BLM land up north of Phoenix of here. It's now in the middle of development kind of stuff. That's been a big battle we've been going into and became a point of pride of Phoenix. We made a big deal out of it and so on because it's a very nice world-class shooting range that's been up what used to be way out in the desert, and now the city just kind of grew around it, and they want it, But, it's been saved. Well, what they wanted was the city council to fund it, to be able to have shooting parks. They want to have the whole concept was during the Clinton administration when they had midnight basketball. Remember that? It was the crime bill. We're gonna have basketball at night so we can get all the thugs be out there playing basketball, midnight basketball. That's gonna cure crime and everything, basketball. So they're going, hey, if they get basketball, we want shooting ranges. And what the libertarians say, hey, we don't believe in taxpayer-funded parks to begin with, or libraries, or schools, or anything. You do it in the free market. Let freedom ring. Oh, they hated that. We give them an L rating because they don't want to rip off the taxpayer to fund the building of shooting ranges. You get it? Consistency. Just a messenger.